come up on the screen. Let's look at Jeremiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. I want you to understand that this walk started off as a good walk, but ended up vain and corrupt. The Bible says in verse number 2, "Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, Thus said the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thy espousal, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. Israel was holy unto the Lord, and the first fruit of his increase. All that devoured him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, said the Lord. Hear ye the words of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Hear ye the church of the Lord. Hear what thus saith God concerning his people in time past. What the Lord has revealed unto us was a beautiful relationship with the children of Israel. She was the Lord's bride. This was a most joyous occasion for the people, for they had been released from slavery, freed by the power of God. She was the first fruit of God's increase, according to the scriptures. She followed the Lord into the land that was not sown, and out of the land which was promised to his children. Israel had many, hear me, brothers and sisters, many lapses in faith along the way. She grumbled that time, reflecting back on her days in Egypt. But God was faithful unto her. Trusting God with all our heart and obeying his will, we have the same privilege that Israel has, a loving relationship with our Father, even today. All God wanted from Israel was them to be a priestly people, just as he wants us to be priestly people today. If you look at Exodus chapter 19, starting at verse number 4, the Bible clearly explains this. We have seen what I did unto the Egyptians and how I bared you on eagle's wings. God is literally telling the children of Israel, I have taken care of you. I bared you and I brought you unto myself. A lot of times in our own minds, we think to ourselves that we come to God, but God allows us to come to him. God brought Israel unto himself. Verse number 5 teaches us, Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all nations of people, above all people. God has selected this chosen people to be his special people, the children of God. For he says, for all the earth is mine. Can think about it for a minute. Out of all the thousands of people that lived on the land, God chose these people that were a nobody out of everyone else and called them his special treasure, my brothers and sisters. That's the kind of relationship we should want with our God. Listen to what he says in verse number 6. And he shall be unto me a kingdom, a priest, and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. God wants us to be a priestly nation. This is the same kind of devotion that Peter wished for the church of the living God. If we are just willing to obey him. In 1 Peter chapter 2, starting at verse number 9, the Bible says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into the marvelous light." You did not come out of darkness on your own accord. It was all according to the will of God. Look what he says in verse 10. "Which in time past was not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have attained mercy." Should we not feel privileged because of what God did? We have no reason to brag on our own self-righteousness, because our self-righteousness are like filthy rags. But it's because of what God is doing in our lives that make us this special people. I'm telling you, my brothers and my sisters, honor God by living a righteous life. This same kind of devotion Paul spoke of. Paul spoke of his jealous devotion to the church with grave concerns for the spouse of God, Christ's bride. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 2. Watch what he says. "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy." That literally is just saying with righteous jealousy. You know, most people base their jealousy on envy. Envying what someone else has. But this is a righteous jealousy that Paul is very concerned about. He says, "For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you a chastened virgin to Christ, a pure and holy church, righteous in her walk with God." Oh, wouldn't we love to see the church right with God? But yet, there's a problem that exists. And Paul verifies that in verse number 3. He talks about the vainness of an empty walk. He reads in verse 3, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through the subtlety, so your mind should be corrupt from the simplicity that is in Christ." This is Paul's fear for us, church, for the church of the living God, that Satan will come along and just like he beguiled Eve, he will fool some of us. And we see the church departing from the traditions of the New Testament off into areas of worship that are vain in God's eyesight. What I will attempt to do is show you the emptiness in a vain walk. So pay close attention to the words that I will say in the next few minutes. The world offers the children of God countless enticements, enjoyable, luscious, yummy things that are so appealing to the eye, to the flesh, and our egos. They create such delightful pleasures that are so attractive, so inviting, that many people fail to escape its allure. is charming, seductive magnetism. It sensitizes the desires of the body as well as the mind. Those sensations produce warm, fuzzy feelings in us. Y'all know what I'm talking about? They produce these warm, fuzzy feelings in us that leads us into taking the bait. Therefore, its appeal appears more pleasing to the weaknesses of our flesh than our walk with God. Did you hear me? Those things of the world in many people's eyes seem to be more pleasing, more desirable than the walk, the relationship that they have with God. The flesh, along with its cravings, feeds us with thoughts of the Lay's potato chip slogan, "You can't eat just one." No, you can't do this just one time. It teaches us. I recall David, a man after God's own heart, having several wives. But when he looked up on the stunningly beautiful Bathsheba, who was sunbathing on the rooftop in 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 3, I can imagine him saying to himself, "Man, not just one, but give me one more time. Allow me to have my desires fulfilled, not with the woman that I was married to, but with some other man's wife." Isn't that the way it is in our lives? One more time, and I'll stop. And that one more time becomes many more times because we have been seduced by the sinful pleasures of the world. David was mesmerized by the seductive beauty while she was bathing that led him to inquire about her right on into a web of sin, knowing that she was another man's wife and a loyal soldier to his kingship. Can you believe that? A man after God's own heart. What does that say about us? That says if we don't walk the walk that Christ has set before us, then our lives can become empty and vain, and we think we are walking a good walk. There are people that call themselves members of the Lord's body too afraid to stand up and ask the brethren to pray for them when they know they are wrong. They're too afraid to grab a brother by the hand and say, "Brother, I need your help. Pray for me." But yet they go around walking this walk thinking that they are all right with God when that walk is only an empty and vain one. Brothers and sisters, understand, we cannot walk with the Lord if our lives are still in sin. The emptiness of a vain walk, though it may be a short one, is still vain. It's still empty. How many of you here today have looked back on your past life and said, "Lord, I wish I would have never done some of the things that I did or said some of the things that I've said." Oh, the children of Israel walking with God and then turned their back on it because of the desires of this world. Listen. the amazing effects that temptation has on our lives leaves most people spellbound, captivated by its seductive indulgence. And all they want is one more time of doing the wrong that they have done. Did you not know that it is so popular to be in the wrong that you cannot find one decent television program on TV today? Everything is loaded with sex and violence. And brothers and sisters, it's getting worse because people are living a life that's empty and vain. And yet, it draws us. Paul teaches us in Romans chapter 5, and this is from the Living Bible. Watch what he says, and I just want to read. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. I got this translation here I want to read to you. It says, those who let themselves be controlled by their lower nature live only to please themselves. Those who are walking this vain walk are only concerned about those things that please them. I have come to the conclusion that our lower nature, our lower way of thinking, wants to be our God, that we can fulfill its lustful desires and ambitions. Oh, that's all it wants. It wants to fulfill its desires, its wants. Mike Tyson stated in his autobiography that while he was in prison and during his fighting career, insanity became his sanity. Y'all hear what I'm saying? He says his insanity became his sanity. He was saying his craziness, his madness, his foolishness became his sanity. His rationale, his stability, his lower nature was in control. He was acting like a wild animal, a vicious dog, because those things of God were dead in his life. And in turn, he turned to the only nature that he had. That's the reason why he bit off Holyfield's ear in the rain. Y'all remember that? Hey, y'all remember some of the antics that he went through at interviews? And man, just cussed and called people dogs and homos and just went crazy, man. I said, what's wrong with this man? It is his lower nature. His insanity became his sanity. Why do you think people are walking in churches and just shooting folks down for no apparent reason when they are good and nice to them? Why do you think we have all this corruption in our police departments? Why do you think racism still exists today? Why do you think all this evil is being practiced all over the world? It is because people are living vain lives. And today, we hear more about it. And we see more about those things that have corrupted our society. And that's the reason why we can't hardly find a decent program on television today. That's the reason why the songs all have sexual lyrics, beats that degrade and undermine people. Because they're living in a lower state, not the state that God wants them to live in. Their walk is an empty and a vain walk before God. This is the reason why Paul shares his history of such difficulty in Romans chapter 7 about the challenges of living in this flesh and trying to obey God. Now, he talks about, he describes, and we'll look at it, the challenges that he faced in living in the flesh and trying to fulfill the will of God. In the Living Translation, again, it says in Romans chapter 7, starting at verse number 14, he says, "The law is good, then, as the trouble is not there, but with me, because I am sold into slavery with sin as my owner." Hey, wait, go back. I want us to see this. Go back to verse number 14 right quick. He says here, "with sin as my master." See, the only way sin affects your life and my life is when it wants to control our flesh and dictate what we should desire. It wants us, and it knows how to get to us, because we all desire pleasure. And in turn, when God tells us to restrain ourselves, boy, what a struggle. What a struggle we have in trying to restrain ourselves from sin. Watch what he says in verse number 15. He says, "I don't understand myself at all, for I really want to do what is right, but I can't. I do what I don't want to, what I hate. I know perfectly well that what I am doing is wrong, and my bad conscience proves that I agree with these laws I'm breaking." Your conscience convicts you. Huh? Your conscience has never convicted you? Well, let me tell you, my brothers and sisters, mine convicts me all the time when I know that I'm doing something contrary to the will of God. When I look at something, or someone with not a godly eye, but a lustful eye, it whoops on me. And it tells me you shouldn't look like that, or act like that, or do that. That's when this wrong comes into our lives and try to dominate us, to try to get us off course, to live after the flesh and not after God. That's what Paul is fighting against. He wants to do good, but he finds something in his very members that are warring against the laws of his mind, and the Bible says bringing him into captivity unto the law of sin and death. Oh, I'm telling you what a struggle we have when we try to walk a faithful walk, but the emptiness that's of the world, the vainness, the madness has become some people's sanity. Oh, brothers and sisters, look at what he says in verse number 18, sister. Verse number 18. Paul says, "I know I am rotten through and through so far as my old sinful nature is concerned. No matter which way I turn, I cannot make myself do right. I want to, but I can't." That's it. Y'all don't feel like that? Y'all don't have that problem? man, you must be an angel for heaven if you don't. You must not be living in the same type body I'm living in, because I have to fight this every day. And Paul is talking about, he knows he should do right, but it's wrong. What did he say? When I want to do good, I don't. And when I try not to do wrong, I do it anyway. Man, what a struggle. What a challenge. The man is trying to explain to us and let us see and understand that he has a problem. And he's trying to deal with it because it is a struggle. His conscience has been convicted. Verse number 20. But if I am doing what I don't want to do, I'm not really the one doing it. The sin within me is doing it. The flesh that wants to be your God, that wants you lusting and desiring these enticements of the world, it's the thing that's in control. The lure of such sinful pleasures are just the thing the devil uses to trap us. The lure of sinful pleasures are just the thing the devil uses to trap us. Listen, brothers and sisters. Like a rat sniffing the air for a free meal, he smells the cheese in the distance, which appeals to his sensitive nostrils. The rat ran towards the aroma, the alluring smell, looking to find a free meal. But the trap found the rat. Did y'all get it? The devil dangles these things out there in front of us and say, come on. But then once we take part in it, we find ourselves in the trap. When the desires are triggered, people find them searching high and low to fulfill those cravings. But that's when the trap finds them. Oh, how many of us here today have fallen into the trap? Look at what Jeremiah has to say in Jeremiah 2 concerning the children of Israel after they had gotten to where they had turned from the walk of God. Watch what he says. I chose the English Standard Version to explain this. He says, how can you say, I am not unclean? I have not gone after Baals. Look at your way in the valley. Know what you have done. A restless young camel running here and running there. What Israel had done, instead of following God's commandments and getting rid of all the people that were over in the promised land, they start listening and watching some of those people who were worshiping idol gods. Oh, boy, they like that. You know, it's sort of like instrumental music. It can become very pleasing to the ear. Y'all understand what? See, we in the church realize and understand that that's the world's music. And, you know, I don't mind listening to it out there. But when I...